Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. This is Pep Talk, and when you hear that song, it's time for Ballinger Publishing. Malcolm Ballinger is here this morning. Came in a little early to help me out. I appreciate that so much, Malcolm. Great to see you. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you.
In La La Land over there for a second.
I was sort of semi in deep thought.
Oh, I know.
I was just thinking again about some of the expressions.
We were talking, if you just joined us, were talking in the last half hour about accents and regionalisms and things. And of course, if you could think of phrases that you know, but Malcolm being from England, from Derby, and I was asking him about that, and you have given me some of the Derby expressions.
Yes, and we heard from a listener that there's a
Michael
similar one in Hawaii.
Yes, about that. Wait a minute. I have to pull it up again. How's it? Wait, hang on. Michael sent it in. Hang on a second here. Let me find it again.
Just as a reminder, in Derby, well, in most
of Hawaii,
England,
they say, how's it?
How's it? Yeah, we say, hiya.
Hiya.
Like, hi, how you doing?
Mm-hmm.
I think. I don't know. But we always did. Hiya.
Hiya. Well, that, I remember that from the South a little bit. I can remember saying that in Georgia. Hiya, but it's more a little different. Hiya, how you doing?
Yeah, it's a little, rolled a little bit off the tongue.
More syllables in it.
Yeah.
But were you thinking about something else?
I was just thinking about different things different expressions.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that. You know, in this country, people use the word awesome a lot.
Oh, gosh.
But in England, they say brilliant.
Do you know where that came from? Awesome?
No.
Ask me. I just happen to know.
Oh, please avail us with the...
Meg, please tell us we're awesome.
Yes. Yes.
Well, Malcolm, I will tell you. There was a thing that came out back in the 70s called the Preppy Handbook. It was done by National Lampoon, and it was a whole book on how to be preppy. And it was a kind of a lampoon of all of that, the college, because at that time, remember, all of the toga parties came back and people were doing, Animal House had just come out, and there was sort of a resurgence of the fraternity sorority community, and it was like the late 70s, early 80s. So this Preppy Handbook came out, and then National Lampoon came out with this sort of fake annual. And so in there, that's where awesome came from. That was the first awesome. And so that was in the movie. Then there was a movie, I think, with Sean Penn. And he was also saying, I think he was the one that started the awesome dude deal.
Oh.
So all of that. But what's surprising to me, that we never said that until I was in high school. I remember when people started saying that in high school. And one of the teachers said, I want everyone to stop saying that. Because we were all saying it. It's one of those catchphrases for the kids, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's, I'm amazed. It's been 40-something, 50 years now that it's still around.
Absolutely.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
Because it was, I remember exactly when it came around was back there, about right about that time.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Preppy Handbook.
You got an education on
I tell
program.
You what. I have a plethora of useless knowledge in this mind of mine.
Now, before I forget, I have
expressions you were talking about.
I have a confession to make.
Oh, okay, about...
I think the expression is mea culpa.
Uh-oh, that's Italian for my fault.
Yes, exactly.
So what'd you do this time?
Well, first, we should all learn from this that we should listen to what's being said in staff meetings, including the boss.
Oh, no. Okay.
Obviously, I wasn't listening or whatever, but I... broadcast last week that to enter the contest, you go to info@ballingerpublishing.com.
Oh, this is about the pet photo contest.
The pet photo contest, yes.
Okay.
Not so.
Oops.
Info at, no.
Oh.
Morgan, very cleverly, has a, on our website, you scroll down and there's an announcement about the pet contest. You click on that and you enter that way, not through info@ballingerpublishing. Three people tried to send us pet photos right after the show.
Oh,
and
okay.
Of course, they didn't know that I'd misled them.
Okay, but did you get the entries anyway, though? Through
yes.
That?
Yeah, oh,
you
yes.
Got them
so,
anyway.
All fixed up.
Okay.
So
give us the correct information.
And we have lots of entries coming.
Good. Well, tell us about the contest for folks that maybe weren't listening last week.
In the August edition, we're going to have a cover contest winner for your pet, the best photo of your pet. It can be any kind of pet.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I just received over the weekend an entry that was a cat.
There you go.
Because they've mostly been dogs.
Right.
In fact, I think that's only the second cat that we had. So
okay, so there's a shot for the cats because the competition is less.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. So anyway, the winner is featured on the front cover. Now, every entry is featured inside. There's a picture of every entry. Mm-hmm. So your little cat, little dog, whatever, is going to be in the magazine, come what may, if you enter.
So even if you don't get the cover, you'll still be in the magazine?
You'll still be in the magazine.
Oh, that's so fun.
Yes.
I love that.
Now, based on the way that we're going, we may have to go up in pages to accommodate all the entries.
Once you put that out there, you could have hundreds of pages of pictures.
But some really creative ones.
Mm-hmm.
So again, you go to BallingerPublishing.com and scroll down on the right-hand side. There's a greeny-colored announcement.
Mm-hmm.
Click on that, and then you just put in your name and...
your pet's name, probably.
Pet's name, and a little explanation. It's always kind of good to say how the picture was taken or some of the traits of your pet, etc. Mm-hmm. You know, something of interest.
Okay, a little fun facts.
Fun fact,
there
that's exactly right.
There you go, a fun fact. Okay.
And deadline, and again, I should listen in staff meetings, I believe is the 18th of July.
Okay.
So we've still
got... It'll probably be on the website, too. So the thing to do is do it now, don't wait.
Yes.
So then you have to worry about the deadline.
And I think a little bit of coaching in terms of the photo.
Right.
I would think... It can be staged, or it can be just an opportunistic.
I like the candid shots.
Candid shots, yes.
Where you catch them doing something they're not supposed to do.
Yeah.
Those are great.
But really, anything that is cute.
Mm-hmm. I have a wonderful picture from years ago. This pet's not here anymore, but I used to live in a little tiny apartment in New York. I came home, and apparently... She was a puppy at the time, had gotten into the closet where I kept all the toilet paper.
Oh, dear.
And I came in, and the entire apartment had been rolled like a kid would do in college when they roll the trees or whatever.
Yeah.
And I looked at it, and I said, who did this? And there's my dog tail wagging, toilet paper all over his head, his face, in his paws. And he looked at me like, not me. I don't know, Mom, not me. So guilty. All right. Well, on that note, we're going to take a quick break here, but we'll be back with Malcolm Ballinger. So get those photos in. Just go to BallingerPublishing.com and click on the contest link and you'll be in. Good morning. You're listening to Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg and our guest this morning, Ballinger Publishing, Malcolm Ballinger, the owner and publisher. So tell me, we've got what's going on with Ballinger Publishing. The Pensacola magazine is out. You can see it on newsstands now. And it's a great, great issue. We talked a little bit about that.
Yes,
last week.
The new issue is at the printers now and should be back, well, sometime soon.
Okay.
These days, we have to print out of town, so...
Oh, this is for downtown crowd?
Well, for both downtown...
Oh, for both, okay.
Both downtown crowd and Pensacola Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
There are no local printers anymore.
Oh, gosh.
So we're a little bit at the mercy of the freight companies.
Oh, that's not fun.
Sometimes they route our magazine via Alaska or something.
Oh, no.
A snowstorm in somewhere or whatever.
In Pensacola?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, truck lines have the best assortment of excuses.
Oh, my goodness. But so downtown crowd will be this week.
Yes, probably tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, tomorrow's July 1st. It'll be right on time.
Yeah, so it'll be, right on time. And Pensacola Magazine will follow... Very shortly thereafter.
Can you give us a hint as to what's happening with this issue?
No.
Okay. All right. We'll keep it a secret.
Top secret.
Yes, top secret.
I'm going to keep people guessing.
Okay. That sounds good. All right. Talking with Malcolm Ballinger about Ballinger Publishing. We've been having a little fun this morning talking about accents and expressions and things. And I have this little book someone gave me years ago. I was sharing with Malcolm during the break, How to Speak Southern.
I am not good at that.
Southern expressions, and it has literally a dictionary from A to Z, and some of them are, some of them I have never heard, some of them I have. There's quite a few cute ones in here. I'll see if I can find a good one, but Okay, so the expression let on. Have you ever heard that?
Let or led.
L-E-T-O-N.
Oh, let on.
Here's an example. To indicate knowledge of either by word or action. Here's an example. Her husband's been drunk for 10 years, but don't let on you know anything about it.
Oh, you know, that is a British expression, too.
Is
let
it?
On.
Let
yeah.
on?
Let on is to tell somebody.
Yeah.
You let on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's exactly right. Isn't that funny?
Oh.
Okay.
I guess
how
there must
that?
Be a lot of ex Derby folks in.
Well, you know something
south.
Interesting. When I was in theater and studying accents and dialects, mm-hmm. the closest accent to a southern dialect is British, is High British.
Oh,
electricity, right? Electricity. So they're very similar. There's a lot of similar diphthongs, so to speak.
Well, you know, I've said this before, but in England, as opposed to the U.S., mm-hmm. for instance, you've really got to go quite a distance before accents change.
Really?
For instance,
all you got to do is cross a state line or a county line and our accents change.
Yeah, but
change.
If you're in Alabama, pretty much everybody speaks, not everybody, but most speak with an Alabama accent, whether it's stronger or weaker, but mm-hmm. it's essentially an Alabama accent. And Alabama's a big place.
Right.
In England, for instance, I lived in Derby. There's a town which is like 50 miles out of town called Belper.
Mm-hmm.
And you know instantly when somebody comes from Belper into Derby,
right.
you know exactly where they're from.
Right.
And Belper's not a big town. And it's true that other little towns and villages close by,
mm-hmm.
very distinctive accent. I think it probably goes back to the days when people just didn't move around too much.
I just find it fascinating that accents exist at all. If you really want to think about it, if you want to get in the weeds on this topic.
Yeah.
I mean, because why would somebody speak differently only a few miles apart?
True.
What causes that? So there's a theory about the South. I don't know if you've heard this theory.
No. No.
Because when I used to teach dialects, and so we would talk about the different Southern dialects. So when you were talking about the South, you just have to teach people it's hot and it's humid. So everybody in the South talks slower because it's hot. Because we don't talk that now. In New York, everything's fast, right?
Yeah.
So New York accents, they all talk like everything's so.
Yes.
It's very fast. But then the South, hey, how are you?
I think
yes.
I think you may get some protest texts here.
No, I'm not making. I'm from the South. I'm not making fun.
Oh,
I'm
okay.
part of it. But they're very different because when we teach Southern dialects, if you're in Charleston, South Carolina, there's a drawl. It's very different. It's that kind of elegant Charleston, South Carolina. It's very different.
It's a fascinating subject because I know there are a lot of Scots that came to the South.
Especially in the Carolinas,
yeah.
actually.
And the Scottish accent is so different from the Carolinas.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure how.
How did that manifest?
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, it's funny because in North Carolina, I lived in Charlotte in that area, and they have a lilt. So they say, "Hi, I'm from Carolina too. How are you? I'm good. How are you doing?" It's a there's a lilt that happens at the end of the sentence. We don't do that down here. There's real little subtle things, and then Alabama has all different kind. You got the rich Alabama, which is a different sound from rural Alabama.
Yeah. You notice with the Australian accent, they tail off at the end of a sentence.
Oh, yeah.
And how are you?
It's one of the hardest accents to do, by
the
way.
I can do a little bit.
Oh, do it. Do it.
Hello there, and how are you?
That's hilarious. See, I can't do. It's almost a nasal thing.
You have to kind of talk out of the side of your mouth, I think.
Hello there.
Yeah,
hello there. See, but Nicole Kidman makes it sound sexy.
Yeah, I'm sure mine didn't sound too sexy.
No. No, it didn't. So, where are you from? If you've got an accent or an expression from your hometown that you haven't heard in a while and this conversation's making you think about it, text it in to us. We'd love to hear from you at 850-437-1620. This is Pep Talk. I don't know how much of an expert we are on dialects and expressions, but at least we're having a little fun with it this morning.
Yeah, we can fake it.
Fake it till you make it. So then you get out west. That's a whole other animal. I can't do anything from Montana, Idaho. When you start getting into Minnesota, Minnesota's very distinct. Wisconsin.
I'd lived in Nebraska for several years, and that was as close to no accent, I think. And Iowa was also. I don't recall there was an accent.
Mm-hmm.
And Denver, well, because Denver, there's so many people moved in. There's so many accents.
Right.
So it's a melting pot.
Right. That's truly. That's true.
But they had their expressions, too, mm-hmm. which I can't think of. But
of course. I know.
But it's good that we differentiate ourselves.
Well, that's what makes our country great.
Yeah.
With all the diversity and all the different accents and nationalities and customs. And that's what I love about the 4th. That kind of brings, we were talking about earlier, kind of brings us all together.
Mm.
We have all the same, we kind of all celebrate in the same way on this one big holiday.
Yes.
Which was so much fun.
Yes.
All right. Well, we'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Going to take a quick break. Talking with Malcolm Ballinger and Ballinger Publishing on Pep Talk. We'll be back in a minute. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg and Malcolm Ballinger with Ballinger Publishing, talking about accents this morning.
Well, the one thing that I really hated about British accents
mm-hmm.
is that people were judged based on their accent.
Oh, the
it
class?
It was very much a class thing.
Yeah. Which well, that's is, true well, here a little bit, too.
I don't think to the same extent, though. In England, people are very class conscious.
Mm-hmm.
And are always trying to change their accent or eliminate their accent.
Oh, okay.
Because it brands them as, if you have a Derby accent, well, you're from Derby.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have, if you don't have an accent or more of a London accent, then...
well, isn't Cockney, Cockney was considered...
Well, no, more BBC English, if you
right.
like.
Right, okay.
And so I kind of hated that.
Mm.
I know when I bump into Brits in the U.S. and ask where they're from,
mm-hmm.
you can usually tell a little bit, but the first thing that they do is try and alter their accent. And I never did that because, well, I just didn't. I didn't think it was, I didn't think I wanted to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it goes back to that class thing.
Sure, that makes sense.
I'm glad we don't. I don't have to deal with that anymore.
Well, I remember when I moved up to New York City, and my accent. First of all, I was 10 octaves higher, and I talked like this. Oh, I'm so excited to be in New York. I'm going to be an actress. And I remember one of the first agents I met said, "That's got to go."
That's got to go.
And I said, "But that's who I am." She said, "Yeah, you sound like an idiot." I mean, it was just the stigma of sound that something about Southern sounded dumb to people.
But aren't the parts for Southern belles?
Sure, but they would prefer that you fake that than, you know, that's the acting part.
Yeah, in American movies when mm-hmm. they fake the British accent.
Oh, gosh.
Hey, governor.
Oh, gosh.
How you doing, governor?
Oh, no. That's terrible.
It is terrible.
Okay, so what was it I'm supposed to say? Ta.
Ta.
Ta, Malcolm. Goodbye.
Yes.
Is that what we're saying?
Yes, ta.
Ta.